Anybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win? I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
Oh my, I was wondering who. My name's Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and today we are talking about addiction.
Keep throwing me for a loop each and every time.
You did addict what? Like, what song is it going to be? You don't know until I finish.
Right? It's just like, oh, okay. Track 11 from Late Registration.
And I'm just going to say it, a good track.
You know what? Finally. 11 tracks into Late Registration and finally a good one.
Finally, there's one that has nuance, interesting lyrics, promising character development. I mean, up until this point, we just haven't had this from Late Registration.
Which is kind of like how we sounded the first time we talked about Late Registration.
Probably, that's true. Although, I think the first time around, I loved Gold Digger for sure, Drive Slow. But I will say, though, of all the songs, even though this 2.0 version of Late Registration we're doing right now, even though now I appreciate all the songs more than I ever did before, I still feel about Addiction like I did last time. Which is that it, like, I don't know. To me, this is like a special Kanye track. It's like the earliest sign of Yeezus we get. Like, it is really Kanye getting experimental and really wacky with the soundscape in a way that I love.
If you think about, like, the row of songs it just followed, right? Like, Heard Him Say, So Pop Influenced, Touch the Sky as well, like, both are radio. Then Gold Digger, like, three radio hits, like, up front. Drive Slow's way more like philosophical, but still has this like soulful beat that you can kind of get into. Crack Music, you're getting this deep societal exploration. Roses, you get this like classic Kanye kind of style song. Bring Me Down really channels like a lot of Kanye ego and bravado and has that production kick that you'd expect from him. And then Addiction just takes you to such like a different place.
Why everything that's supposed to be bad make me feel so good. I mean, immediately, like opening seconds, it takes you to a different place. Like, it has this cool electronic riff that's kicking everything off. And there's like, you can hear like a cymbal lightly clanging in the background. And then Kanye comes in. Well, I mean, you hear like, You Make Me Smile, like fade in, and it sounds kind of creepy. And then Kanye's talking directly to you. Like, it's a weird song. Like, it really throws you for a loop in the first like 15 seconds.
Yeah. And what's funny is that Kanye's still doing the same thing. Like, he hasn't suddenly drastically changed up his approach, right? It's still an Etta James song that he's sampling, that he's flipping into something a little bit more modern, and an Etta James song from like a 1937 musical, which we'll get into. But it's still like a classic song sample flip that's very in line with everything else that he's done on the album. But there's just something a little different about this, not just sonically, but then also lyrically, how much more in like existential torments Kanye is, like, a little bit when it comes to fame and the lifestyle of fame. Which gets at what you're saying about this kind of being the first appearance, both like sonically and I think content-wise, of the life we see him living on Yeezus.
it's cool because as you look at the narrative of Late Registration and like all of the different waves Kanye's gone through, where, you know, he starts the album kind of taking a broader look at everything, heard him say he's looking at these like societal political issues that affect the Black community, and Touch the Sky, he's trying to show how anybody can touch the sky and like rise out of this. And then Gold Digger is this it's kind of a shifted look, but still ultimately looking at Kanye's life and like where he's taking the album, where like what fame and celebrity does to people, like this quest to touch the sky, how it causes like men and women to hurt each other and use each other. It sets up this whole landscape where we head into this middle part of the album, and song after song after song, as you were describing, like is these very specific situations where we see Kanye, you know, sometimes he's looking back in time, sometimes he's dealing with his celebrity like in the moment, and he's looking at all of these things that affect his life. Like on Roses, it's how family can help build him back up and he can find some solace in that community. And then there's a song like Bring Me Down where he looks at the music community and sees like, oh, like these people aren't treating me the same as like my family would. These people are trying to keep me down. You see him keep going through these waves. All of that leading into addiction. I mean, you can see how these pieces all line up for a song that is about being addicted. And there's so many meanings here. Like Kanye is addicted to, of course, he talks about sex, drugs, alcohol, money, but ultimately he's addicted to celebrity and like what celebrity presents and how like, and it's so much more for Kanye because he sees touching the sky as like inspiration for people. But at the same time, when you touch the sky, it means like succumbing to all of these vices of celebrity and doing these ugly things and being addicted to these ugly things. Like you see it all coming into place here. So the sound of it makes sense. Like it is kind of scary. Like at this point of the album, Kanye isn't like some woke guy who understands everything and knows how to handle celebrity. Like he is a lost, confused boy. Like he's still young. Like he doesn't know how to handle any of this.
Yeah, that's often comes back to like kind of a classic human truth, right? That we're always better at critiquing what's happening to other people and how they're behaving and commenting on things outside of our life than we are at understanding what it is we're doing and what's affecting us in our own pitfalls. So you could listen to a friend's relationship issues and be like, why are you doing that stupid thing? Stop that. Just do this and your life's going to be good. And your friend's like, oh, I never thought about it that way. But then you go right into your own like life and do something that you should know better, or that you've cautioned your friends not to do, or that you could easily point out as the wrong thing to do to someone else, but you can justify it to yourself in some way, right? Or ignore the warning signs that you would see if you were an outside observer. You just convince yourself that it's okay. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. Like he's aware that this is bad. He's aware that these things like are supposed to be bad, but at the same time, because he feels good, because there's a positive response despite the negative consequences of it, he keeps diving in again and again. And that decision making, that inability to reject what pleasures fame offers, goes on to inform Graduation, 808s and Heartbreak, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, The Life of Pablo. Yeah. All of that.
Getting chills. We need to talk about the song.
Yeah. So, Addiction. Well, not Addiction. Babes in Arms. Etta James, My Funny Valentine. So, Etta James sample, You Make Me Smile With My Heart, comes from the song My Funny Valentine.
Funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Oh, your looks are
which You know, you get the lyrics, My Funny Valentine, Sweet Comic Valentine. You make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unforgettable, unphotographable, not unforgettable.
Oh, that's kind of mean.
Yeah. Yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you smart? Don't change your hair for me, not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine, stay. Each day is B Valentine's Day. And then it just kind of repeats. But you get this nice dynamic, kind of a sweet and silly, classic kind of cinema story or like book story of like, oh, they don't get along. They're not perfect for each other, but look how much they love each other. Where like this girl thinks Val's kind of like ridiculous, but at the same time can't stop smiling because of him.
Yeah. And as we've seen over and over in this album, pretty much any time Kanye is sampling a song in this album, and I do think it's kind of unique to this album specifically because I don't think Kanye necessarily always makes a habit of doing this, but on Late Registration in particular, pretty much every sample is a love song. And it really, I think, is getting at this at the relationship Kanye has with celebrity and how complicated it is, because often the song is either a breakup song or it's a lauding song or it's just a simple song about how much you love the person. And here it's kind of like a playful, like, oh, I love you despite the fact that you're ugly and stupid, apparently. if you take all these samples and put them together, what you get out of it is this really complex view at a relationship and all these things people go through in relationships. And by doing that, Kanye paints a very both like contentious and like fulfilling relationship with celebrity. And how you get to like a fulfilling, like ultimately, I think Kanye's trying to find something fulfilling out of celebrity and to do something good. And he's searching for that. But along the way, you get all these like ebbs and flows. And here we're just seeing that again. Like we're seeing this kind of like light romantic relationship between these two people. And in true Kanye fashion, he plays on that. Ironically, because this song is anything but a nice, playful relationship that Kanye enjoys, it seems to be an addicting relationship that's like, you know, sending him down further down the rabbit hole of, you know, all the ugly parts of celebrity.
Yeah, like it is funny the innocence in the sample, right, versus the
right.
complete lack of innocence in the song. And then of note, like, maybe like a bridge too far, but looking at the plot of Babes in Arms, the 1937 stage production, the story is essentially these kids in Seaport, Rhode Island in the 1930s, their parents go away for the summer and they decide that they're just kind of like partying, having fun. And a sheriff shows up and is like, hey, kids, like we're going to make you work unless you like can show responsibility. So they put on a performance for everybody. And that's what a lot of this group of kids like get together to do. So they're playing songs, like doing stage acts. And their parents are like vaudeville parents. So mm-hmm. there's kind of like this performances in their blood kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what you see is like there's conflict. And how do these kids solve the conflict? They use celebrity, they use art, they use music and performance. And I think that that's kind of the main thing that Kanye was doing as well. Like he saw issues that he was facing that he talks about and Heard Him Say, that he talks about in Drive Slow and Crack Music, right? And how does he solve those issues? With music and performance. And it's kind of like you just get this nice little resonance to that story and the lightness of that story to now Kanye's story and starting to explore more of the serious repercussions of it's just not a song and dance saves the day. It's like a song and dance saves the day, leads to fame, and then fame has a Pandora's box of goodies for you.
I do like to make a direct parallel of Kanye's relationship with celebrity. Like I think it's kind of funny to see him thinking of it this way, Like, oh, celebrity is just this funny looking thing that you can't help be attracted to. Like, no matter what trials and tribulations we face, like, he's going to latch on to whatever excuse he can to keep celebrity in his life. I know it's ugly. I know it makes my life a living fucking hell, but like, it makes me smile. And I feel like that accurately describes Kanye at this point, because we see him now, like, I don't think he has any attachment to fame now and this desire to become more famous. Back then, that's all he had. He thought that's all he could do to help rise people in his community out of this oppressive place they were in. Like, he thought he saw so much good he could do with celebrity. So, like, naturally, that's the kind of the relationship you have with it. Like, you say whatever you can to make it look pretty and stay with it.
It's like, at this point, celebrity is not what's driving him. It's responsibility that's driving him. Like, he wants more responsibility. He wants to do more. He wants to have more of a seat at the table in terms of making an impact on things, whether that's the music industry, whether that's the country, whether that's, as he tweeted earlier today, building a city in Haiti. And it seems like he's willing to sacrifice aspects of his fame, celebrity, reputation in order to try to leverage into getting those things to happen.
Yeah. And you know what? We're behind him 100%.
Go, Kanye, go.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Why everything that's supposed to be bad make me feel so good? Everything they told me not to is exactly what I would. Man, I tried to stop, man, I tried the best I could, but
you make me smile.
What's your addiction? Is it money?
So we start with Etta James. You make me smile with my heart. Ooh. Then Kanye comes in. Why everything? It almost sounds like a Jerry Seinfeld stand-up. Yeah. What's the deal with airplane peanuts? Why is everything that's supposed to be bad make me feel so good?
Why does celebrity make me feel depressed?
Is it because everything they told me not to is exactly what I would?
I can listen to you read all of the lyrics in this voice.
Perfect. man, I tried to stop, man. I tried the best I could, which there's that self-awareness, right? Like, he keeps talking like, I tried to stop. I tried the best I could to, like, not fall prey to these things. But, and then Etta James comes back in, you make me smile. And it's just, I mean, that almost calls back in some ways to what the sample we just heard on Bring Me Down. And then there was that reference of the one thing on Roses, mm-hmm. where I forget who the song's by, but it's just like, this guy keeps doing this one thing that keeps this girl coming back around no matter what else is going on. And like, for Kanye, his one thing is fame, in quotes, makes him smile.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how he starts with the Etta James, like the full line, you make me smile with my heart. Like, it's this very, again, innocent, romantic, like, there's no context for it. And because there's no context, like, it's just, it's this nice phrase. But then Kanye comes in and describes a not so nice situation. I tried to stop, man. I tried the best I could. But, like, it's somebody who has no control over himself in this addiction. But you make me smile. Like, within, like, the first 20 seconds, he's completely flipped this line from the Etta James song and given it a completely different tone. And I don't know. I just think that's brilliant.
Yeah. And we do get a little bit of a callback to the first verse of Gold Digger, right? Where it's like, people are trying to tell him like, yo, this girl who's like making you take her kids and her kids' friends to showbiz. And like, you're having to buy all this stuff. You know that she like, messed around with Usher and she had a baby by Busta. Like, this is not the first time she's done this. And Kanye's like, yo, I don't care what none of y'all say. I love her. And that was done in this very comedic way, right? With kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and just looking at gold diggers in general. But now that relationship is being kind of extrapolated to what he's doing with Fame. And even though he knows better, his friends are telling him he loves her anyway because she makes him smile. And you're almost seeing like this relationship with Fame be kind of like the relationship with the gold digger.
Yeah, actually, thinking on Gold Digger, this is something we got right, by the way, in the 1.0 version of our analysis of late registration, is that Gold Digger is not a song condemning women for being gold diggers. It's a song that looks at celebrity and what celebrity does to people, what the pursuit of wealth and fame does to people, and how men and women will abuse each other. And this song does have a woman that's in it throughout. And one of the interesting things I think about this song is I'm thinking about her just as much as I'm thinking about Kanye and his addiction. I'm thinking about her and her addiction. And that makes me think about the Etta James sample and how it comes from that Babes in Arms musical, where the song My Funny Valentine is sung by a woman named Billie to a man named Valentine. And it's funny because like over the years, that song has been covered, like I think I read somewhere 1,300 times. Like it's a huge, it's crazy. Like it's this, it was way back in the day too, like a bunch of jazz, you know, songs would cover it. And Frank Sinatra does a famous rendition of it. And, but it's almost always sung by a man. It's not typically sung by a woman. And when Lorenz Hart originally wrote the song, he was writing the song about his own like insecurities and belief that he was like too short and ugly to be loved. Like this dude was, I don't know, he didn't have very much self-confidence, and he brought it out in the song. And but he wrote it from the perspective of a woman. So it becomes this very gender neutral song. So I think that's really interesting heading into this, where there really is two ways of looking at the song and looking at how addiction like doesn't see gender. Addiction is something that takes over everybody, especially when you have this pursuit of fame, when you're someone like Kanye who is a celebrity, or you're a woman who's looking to get in with a celebrity or something, because you also would want to live that life. And I think that's really interesting that it becomes this very nuanced, complex view of celebrity. It's not just Kanye and this addiction to money or drugs or weed. It's this like, it's this system that comes out of wanting to be famous. It's, I don't know. Like when you think of the song that way, it just, to me, it gains like so much more power and it becomes something else.
It really does. Do you ever sit there and think like, talking as much as we talked about Kanye's relationship with fame and thinking like, huh, if our podcast or like our writing on filmcolossus.com ever took off, you know, got huge and like we were famous, would we like shy away from that because like Kanye has talked about like these trials and tribulations?
I would
of
dive
fame?
Right in.
Yeah, you still would be like, well, I hear you, man, but like I need to find out for myself. Like,
but I have to know what it's like to own a second and a third home.
Right? To not be able to choose between a green Porsche and a red Porsche. So I just get both.
What kind of life is that?
I know. Awful. Awful. But yeah, it does cause like a lot of self-reflection. I think not just in the relationship with celebrity as we're talking about, but also maybe just in your day-to-day life, looking at the things that you may have more of an addiction to than you'd like to admit. Yeah. As I look at my phone and see the 20 Twitter notification badge.
I got to check them now.
Travis, hush.
I think the Kanye podcast account permanently has a 20 plus notification tag.
It always does. It never goes away.
They need to up it to like 100 plus.
It would be nice. Because what's 20? Like, I know. What information is that telling me?
It's ridiculous.
No, it's gone right now, though. Well, so
we should put good. A timer on to see how quickly it comes back.
All right. 3:48. All right. So verse one.
What's your addiction? Is it money? Is it girls? Is it weed? I've been afflicted by not one, not two, but all three. She's got the same thing about me, but more about us. She's coming over, so I guess that means I'm a drug. Just let me peek now. I mean, damn, I'm so curious. She's got a lover, so the lies and the lust is a rush. Time's of the essence. I need you to be spontaneous. Roll up the Doja, Henny and Coca-Cola. Then I'm coming over, cause it's never over. Why
everything that's supposed to be bad. What's your addiction? You know, is it money? Is it girls? Is it weed?
This is interesting because the first verse has a really interesting flow where he starts here speaking to you. Like he's trying to like get you connected to what he's talking about. But soon he'll start talking about himself and like his own internal scape and what he's going through. And then the rest of the verse is this very specific situation. Like first line is addressed to you. Second line is about me. Third line is like, all right, here we go. Here's the situation. It's an interesting way to start a verse.
It is. And we're up to 9 notifications on the Twitter icon. It does make me think, like, looking at this verse now and the shifts to Kanye's Joe Rogan interview. And one of the big talking points that has come out of that, right, is Kanye's flow of thoughts. As he described it, his symphony of thoughts.
I love that.
Where he just jumps this topic to this topic to this topic. And he can see the connection going between them and can bring it back around. Though how long and how far he'll go before he brings it back around is anyone's guess. But it does make me, I feel like we've covered enough verses that start with one kind of concept or like in a place in time or speaking in second person, right, to you before he switches to speaking to this woman in the song, and him talking to you kind of falls away, then I'm like, oh, I get it a lot more now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, I had never really thought about it that way, which makes a lot of sense considering Kanye didn't write down his lyrics back in the early days, so these were just the ideas tumbling out of his head. That makes sense.
Look at that. So yeah, what's your addiction? As you said, bringing the listener in and maybe having some reflection, like, is it weed? Like, no, it's not weed, but it is looking at corgi photos. That is an addiction.
And you know what, some of the most brilliant minds in this country are afflicted by it.
Literally dozens of us. I've been afflicted by not one, not two, but all three. Such honesty.
He goes from, here we get going into the symphony of thoughts. He goes from like describing these three things you can be addicted to, well, I've been addicted to all of them, to the next line, she's got the same thing about me, but more about us. Then it like is blown up to this. It goes from like these three singular things to all three to us. Again, I see a flow of like Kanye. With Kanye, it's never about one thing. Like, it's never just like a single layer. There are always like 15 layers stacked on top of each other. And I think this right away really clues you in that the song isn't necessarily about addiction to one thing or this relationship he has with this woman. It's just about Kanye. It's about his mental scape, his psyche, and like what these things represent. And that line, like, but more about us, like he's described, like this relationship he has with this woman is so much more than just like a romance or sex. Like, it, what they're going through represents something so much bigger and something they're stuck in. I just think that's an incredible, that he takes it to like the nth level in just three lines. Like, it's about us. Like, she's like, whoa, man, that's philosophical shit right there.
All right, because it could have stayed a little bit more simplistic. Like, just, she got the same thing about me, she's coming over, so I guess that means I'm her drugs. And then there, it's just like, oh yeah, she's kind of obsessed with him. but more about us. It's not just him that she's obsessed with, but this idea of the relationship and what the relationship means to her, and like what that means with Kanye and Kanye's relationship with fame, as we feel like this is a metaphor for that. It just opens up more doors.
And what's great, and this is a great thing that movies do, that you can look at this woman as either a woman Kanye's in a relationship with, or as you could look at this woman as like a metaphor for addiction. If it's a woman, it's somebody who's looking for something more, something fulfilling that comes from a relationship, and Kanye can satisfy that. So like we're invested in this woman. But at the same time, if we're looking at her as addiction, we see her as something like she's on the same level as like money, girls, weed. Like she is this thing Kanye cannot get rid of. He can't exist without this other addicted party being part of the relationship.
Yeah, because she's part of like she's a girl, and he's addicted to girls. So even if like he doesn't want to be in the relationship with her specifically, right? Because he's addicted, will he not be in a relationship with her? And how unhealthy is that then?
Man, yeah.
I do like too the little bit of like, it almost seems like Kanye is interested in us by asking like, yo, is your addiction money, girls, weed? And then when he admits that like he's afflicted by like not one, not two, but all three, you're like, oh, this was about you the whole time, wasn't it?
You don't even care if I'm addicted to anything.
Yeah, you just named the things that you're addicted to so you could talk about those things.
Is it corgis?
It is. She's got the same thing about me, but more about us. She's coming over. So yeah, we go from Kanye kind of asking us the question to speaking about his own psyche, to talking about this girl, to now we're in a scene where he's just like, all right, she's coming over. Like, all right, I guess that means I'm her drugs. Yeah. Like, oh.
He's leaning in. He's ready for it.
Yeah. And then to have You Make Me Smile come in and just kind of reinforce the negative, right? Because it's like, I'm her drugs. And that's not a, in this case, a good thing to be when you're talking about like addiction. And then having You Make Me Smile, man. And we got to talk about real fast, like My Way Home. My Way Home is based off the sample Home Is Where the Hate Is, right?
Yeah.
Home Is Where the Hate Is. And in that song, Gil Scott-Heron talks about dealing with addiction and the fact that he might not be able to go home again because he's this addict, but then he also looks at his addiction as his new home, and the fact that he doesn't want to go home again because like that's a place where not good things will happen. And if he ever wants to reconnect with the people from his life and actually go back home, then he has to leave his addiction. And now here you had Kanye that like kind of was aware of that on Drive Slow and My Way Home and Crack Music, now ending this section of songs between skit one and skit two by becoming addicted to something.
Yeah. And it also makes me think of Gold Digger again, because I guess in this song, I know Kanye talks about how he is addicted to something, and like seemingly this song then becomes about him and exploring his addiction. But I almost feel like more of what I get out of the song is that he enables this woman and her addiction. It makes me think of Gold Digger, because in that song, Kanye is, it's still the beginning of the album. He's still having this, he's looking out at the world and he sees how celebrity makes men and women do this to each other. And here, he sees that, you know, she's cheating on her guy, and he knows that like this isn't fulfilling. Like he's not going to be there for her in like a relationship kind of way. He's just enabling this addiction she has. And at the same time, it helps him in his addiction. It's a sick cycle that he's actively participating in.
Kanye. He should know better.
He should, but he doesn't.
But he doesn't. So we have Just Let Me Peek Now. I mean, damn, I'm so curious. So this also starts to contextualize the relationship, right? So it goes from she's coming over to now Just Let Me Peek Now. I mean, damn, I'm so curious. Like he wants to look at her body. because it seems like from the rest of the lines that they haven't hooked up yet. Like, they're into each other. Like, she's thinking about him, he's thinking about her, now she's coming over, and like, she's got a lover, so the lies and the lust is a rush. And now you have this moment of she's with somebody, but now here she is, like, lying to that person, lusting after Kanye, and getting this rush of confusing emotions. And Kanye's just like, yo, time's of the essence. I need you to be spontaneous. Like, stop thinking about the repercussions of your own actions and just, like, let's get it on.
Gosh, that makes me think, too. I know I used the word enable and that he's enabling an addiction, but God, you almost feel like with lines like that, like, I need you to be spontaneous. There's a couple lines in the song like that where he's kind of being demanding and like telling her to do things as opposed to like this is I don't know if consensual is the right word, but you don't get this. I guess lines like that don't give me the sense of like, oh, she really wants to be here and like, and wants to get it on. And like, it, she seems to me with language like that, like to be a little apprehensive about it. And So that's one way of looking at it, is that Kanye isn't just enabling her. He's kind of like pushing somebody into this lifestyle and like spreading the ugly reach of celebrity.
Yeah. And Now you get roll up the doja, right? Which is weed.
Precious weed.
Like, you need me to tell you that, yeah. not like you, Travis, need me to tell you that, but like listeners need me to instruct them on what doja is. But Henny and Coca-Cola, which always cracks me up, but it's like alcohol. Like, it's not just, she's there, she's nervous, and Kanye's trying to make moves, so he's just like, have some weed, drink some of this, and like, let's see what happens. Though it does get a little strange with him being like, then I'm coming over, because earlier it was she's coming over. So did she
could
get
be a different
there
kind of coming.
She left? Yeah. Oh God.
Oh.
Or maybe it's just like they're in the same room and he's like, I'm gonna like walk across this room over to where you are, and like, but
yeah.
I can see it as well that like she came and then she left, and now he's saying like, roll up the doja, have some Coca-Cola, and then I'm coming over, because this is never over, right? Like, the addiction is just going to keep continuing, where we keep playing this game, and like, you'll come over to me, I'll come over to you, and we're kind of caught up in this.
I really like the other theory you said, though, where she's across the room, because this is such an intimate song. And a lot of the song, like, you know, Kanye's throughout this album thinking of like crack music and Bring Me Down and Heard Him Say, like, he's really looking at these big issues. He's speaking very broadly about things. He's very political. It here, like, this whole song is just him describing this very specific situation with this woman. The second verse is just about him like getting her naked, basically. Like, it's just line by line breakdown of like, this is how I got it. And it makes me think like, well, maybe this whole song is that. Like, maybe this whole song is this woman who kind of timidly came over to Kanye's place, wasn't sure whether or not she wanted to go down this road, and Kanye is slowly coercing her into it. So, you know, and then the next verse, he says, like, the emotion in your eyes, like, he's up close and personal with her. And maybe this song is just like a slow, steady trek to, like, you know, the act of sex. And this whole first verse is describing that, just kind of like the, you know, like getting back to the place and standing across the room. I know you're curious, like, and then he moves closer to her. And that's like where this first verse ends,
you know. We were talking about the song in such glowing ways at the beginning. And then, like, that description just had me going, like,
not nice.
Not nice. Because you get into, the, like, the difference between the broader mental and emotional place that the song kind of is, and the dynamic that Kanye has with this woman, or just fame in general, right? And then you start breaking it down to the more specific scenes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can make you feel much more uncomfortable.
Icky.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this song's arguably way more icky than Drunken Hot Girls.
Seriously. Like, it's... Yeah, seriously. Like, because it... And it's strange, too, because, like, I guess it does have that icky feel, but it's also, like, at the same time, you understand Kanye and his character in this album is somebody who does not understand how to be the celebrity he is. He does not know how to live, like, a normal life. He is just, like, turned into... whatever this guy is.
Yep. Mm. Definitely feels like a moral tipping point, right?
Yeah.
And God, we should have brought up too that like this Drive Slow starts off this section, and Kanye's verse on Drive Slow is talking about his friend Molly, which I'm sure you've listened to multiple episodes and you're just like, Chris, we get it.
Shut up about Molly.
But Molly has like all this money from his dad passing away, never mind how sad that is, but he has this car and girls are like throwing themselves at him, and Molly like has a kid, and Kanye's just like, oh sweet, he had so much sex he had a kid, rather than like, oh yeah, that's life changing. And at the end, Kanye just kind of like has been passive this whole time describing what it's like to be around Molly, and he's like, hey Molly, like put me on some hoes, like I wanna also like be engaging in the sex like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly's like, yo, don't rush to get grown, like you need to slow down and drive slow. But then the rest of the song is Paul Wall and GLC being like, you know what, we have fame, we have money, and we're driving slow so we don't miss any hoes.
Yeah, right.
And that dichotomy really makes up a lot of the core of the album. Are you being cautious or are you being indulgent? And it's interesting, my preferred word in these scenarios, to look at how Kanye starts this section with those two choices on the table. Evan closes the section with Kanye deciding to not drive slow.
Yeah. And yeah, the lyrics describe it that way. But again, what makes Kanye so great is just production wise, sonically, even the way he talks up, is speaking, like he says, Coca-Cola, Manover, like it almost evokes a cycle. Like he's stuck in this thing and it's just like repeating words, the words he's supposed to say. Like it's, I don't know, like everything about it has that feel. Like you feel like somebody's stuck in something.
I just want to have our typical segment of me complaining about genius annotations.
Okay.
But the genius annotation for the "then I'm coming over" because it's never over says the way Kanye pronounces this line evokes the stuttering in some people who are addicted to amphetamines.
Sounds right.
Such
to me.
As meth, speed, or cocaine. And I'm just like, what? Like, he clearly needed for Roll Up the Doja, Henny, and Coca-Cola. He needed the Coca-Cola for the flow.
Right.
But then you can't really, like, let that go. So then you get him kind of playing off the Coca-Cola with the coming over, and it's never over. It's just the rhyme.
Yeah, but it's also, that's the great thing about Kanye, it's a rhyme mixed with like a message, because it is him, like it feels again like somebody stuck in that cycle. Like that's what I love about Kanye, is even when like those random passing pop culture references just feel like some dumb fun thing he did, like there's almost always meaning to it, like there's something there.
Yep. I just don't think it's amphetamines. I think being stuck in like nervous kind of comes more at the at what's going on.
I would love that. That's a great scene to watch. Like this girl comes over to Kanye's place and he's like, you want some Henny and Coca-Cola? Like he doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, he's just very nervous, handshaking. Drops the Henny.
Need you to undress and then pose, please.
Just pretty please. I like the idea that he drops the Coca-Cola, but he has like a thing of Mentos on the table. And then the Mentos and the Coke mix and the Coke erupts everywhere.
Takes a left turn.
Yeah, right? It just becomes a science experiment gone wrong.
Yeah, too bad he didn't do that.
Too smooth. That's a shame. So we have the hook, why everything that's supposed to be bad make me feel so good, which has even more meaning now that we've just had this scene of like Kanye encouraging this girl to cheat on her significant other. Everything they told me not to is exactly what I would. Man, I tried to stop. Man, I tried the best I could, but you make me smile. Is there something romantic in that you make me smile?
Again, in some ways there is, like, obviously in this song, like, not really, because like what Kanye's describing is an addiction. But if you blow it up to just celebrity in general, like, there's good Kanye can do of celebrity, like all of these great ambitions he had at the start of the album, you know, to help his people rise out of oppression, like give them the confidence to rise up and touch the sky. Like, it's all there. Kanye's just not doing any of that, especially on the song where he just wants to get his nut off.
Yeah. What a colorful description.
Is that the phrase? Get your nut off?
I think that's the phrase.
It is now.
You just said it with such confidence.
There's something to do with a nut. I don't know. If someone knows the correct phrase, tweet at me.
No, that's right. It's definitely right. I was just impressed with how, like, I would have been like, and he's trying to, like, looking left and right.
Do the sex.
Like, there's a teacher behind me be like, get his nut off. You're just like, I'm an adult. I can speak how I want to speak.
This is how I'm going to give the birds and bees talk to my kids.
Look, kid, when you want to get your nut off, this is what you have to do.
Take notes. I'm just going to play them addiction.
Have any questions?
Nope, didn't think so. Kanye covered.
Perfect. Well, so we have verse 2.
I see the emotion in your eyes that you try not to show. We get the closest when you high or you drunk or you blow. So I pour the potion so we can both get high as we can go. Then I'll get the lotion and do something to me when your thighs is exposed. No turning back now. I mean, I don't mean to impose. Not now, but right now, I need you to undress and then pose. I'm into that now. Get your vibe when the doors get closed. Roll up the Doja, Henny, and Coca-Cola. And I keep coming over, cause it's never over.
I see the emotion in your eyes that you try not to show.
Oh, man.
Which, yeah, you talk about that proximity, right? Like, he doesn't say, like, I'm standing right there next to you or we're face to face, but just the idea, like, I see the emotion in your eyes. You have to be close to somebody for that. And there's that intimacy, there's that nakedness, and it's the emotion that you try not to show. Like, ooh.
Man, in that next line, we get the closest when you high or you drunk or you blown. Again, this is what I love about this song is that you feel like this woman, like, you feel like you know her. Like, she has personality and life. But it's also revealing of Kanye at the same time. Like, he doesn't get close to her and realize everything that's troubling her until they're both high and drunk. And you see, like, this clash again. You see, like, the metaphor and, like, the literal story at hand. Like, yeah, this could be an actual relationship where Kanye is, you know, with this woman and realizing these things about her. And that's interesting. But if he's described this sort of ethereal abstract thing, you know, addiction, then in these moments, Kanye is realizing how attached he is to sex and money and drugs and alcohol. It's a revealing moment. And he's at this point where, like, he's formed such a close-knit relationship with addiction and all of these things he's addicted to that it feels like a relationship. And, like, it feels like somebody in his life when it's not. It's just money, sex, and drugs.
Yeah. And notice that there's a little bit of an evolution here, right? In that first verse, it's just like she's coming over and he's trying to get a peek and, like, convince her to be spontaneous. And now it's saying we get the closest when you high or you drunk or you blown, which kind of points to the fact that this is now multiple times they've got. Wow.
Oh, bless you, child.
Thank you. Multiple times that they have gotten together. And that he notices the difference of, like, well, we weren't as close that time because, you know, you weren't high. But now this time when you are high or you're drunk, and just of note that when she was hesitant in that first verse, he offers her weed and a highball of Henny and Coca-Cola. And now it's just become a constant in their dynamic to have drugs and alcohol involved.
He's an alchemist.
Yeah. Which, as you said, like getting back to celebrity, like, is it the kind of thing where, you know, you try to go about your celebrity lifestyle and it's good, it's okay, but you're not smiling until, you know, you're getting into the high, you're getting into the alcohol, you're getting into the party lifestyle.
Getting your nut off.
All of these, like, yeah. Yeah, all of these rock star elements to it. And then Kanye follows that up with, so I pour the potion so we could both get high as we could go.
Enabling.
Point,
man.
No points good. Off for repeating high back-to-back lines.
That's Chris's favorite.
All the time. I'm like, did you use that word a second time? Negative. Yeah, I like the idea. Like, so I pour the potion too, just because there's such kind of power to the word potion, because it tends to be something related to like wizardry, witchery, like something that convinces somebody to act outside of their normal senses and self.
Yeah, but also, I had never thought about this line this way. So before this, he says, like, we get the closest when you high or you're drunk. So I pour the potion. Like, it could also just be like, this is the writer, Kanye, like indicating, like, I would like to be close with somebody. Like, I would like a more, you know, close-knit relationship with somebody and to get close and to feel their emotion. But the only way I know how to do it is through alcohol. Because I think a lot of the song, I've always kind of looked at it as like, oh, he has no attachment to this woman. Like, he just wants to get his nut off, as we've said. But here, like, maybe that's not what's happening. Like, maybe he really does desperately crave something deeper.
Yeah, like, closest is a little vague in that way, right? Like, because he wants to get emotionally closer, or like the whole package kind of close, like not just physically, but they're emotionally close in those moments. Or is it just like, we get the closest to like this happening when you high or you're drunk or you're blown, so I'm like pouring the potion so that we both get high and then I'll get the lotion and we'll be able to just make the sex.
There we go. This again, like, I get Yeezus vibes, not just from the production, but in this moment, like, that reminds me of Hold My Liquor, you know, like how like your relationship with a woman has like so many different levels and represents so many different things, and deep down you want this one thing, but you have no idea how to express it because you're like, you're this broken person. I get all of that from this.
The same with I'm In It, right?
Yeah.
Like, where he definitely wants more than just the sexual relationship, but I'm In It, he settled for just the sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'll get the lotion and you do something to me when your thighs is exposed. You make me smile. Yeah. There's no turning back now. I mean, I don't mean to impose. And so that kind of like, I mean, we've talked a couple times about like the timing, right, of the second verse. And I'd implied that we get the closest, meaning that there have now been multiple encounters that have gone down between them. Mm-hmm. But when he says there's no turning back now, it almost feels like, okay, now they finally crossed the line.
Yes.
That they had it crossed in the first verse. So there is, I think, an argument to be made that this second verse kind of takes place over a longer period of time and they've had more of a dynamic. But then lines like this is also crucial to pointing to, like, this has all just been like building up to finally having the transgression.
Yeah. I mean, either way you look at it, it has power.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. I mean, I don't mean to impose. Not now, but right now. I need you to undress.
Another commanding line.
Yeah. I need you to undress and then pose. I'm into that now.
What is he taking pictures? Like, what's going on?
I think he might be. You know what that kind of reminds me of, though, which is T too much. I know it's too much, but Graduation, Flashing Lights. We talk about on how that album, Kanye leaves Chicago, right? And that the relationship talk on I Wonder is about Kanye and Chicago. And he paints Chicago as this girl that he's like struggling with whether or not he's going to stay with her or leave her in order to go pursue his dream. And then he goes and pursues his dream. And he, this is why the next song is A Good Life. And it's just city after city after city that's not Chicago that he's going after. But when you get Flashing Lights, you have Kanye who's at this hotel with this girl and she's dancing in the mirror so sleazy when he gets a call from this other girl and he tries to give her, what is it, the whoop-dee?
Yeah, oh-wop-doo, something like that.
Oh-wop-doo, yeah, which is Chicago slang for when you try to lie to your girl to get out of whatever it is you're doing. And the fact that he just uses a Chicago slang term when this girl calls him to check in because it's been a while since he's talked with her, you get the sense that it's Chicago. But the woman dancing in the mirror that's like so sleazy, we're talking about, represents like the famous lifestyle.
Yeah.
Kanye leaves behind the life he had known in Chicago on Graduation to go pursue fame, which is what we get on Good Life, Barry Bonds, Drunken Hot Girls, Can't Tell Me Nothing, Everything I Am. I said those out of order, but you have that stretch of him getting into celebrity and fame. It's just interesting. That's the only other time we really have a scene of this girl like undressing and like dancing in the mirror, posing for Kanye's like sexual satisfaction. And then we have it here as well.
Yeah, that's interesting because here, Late Registration is all about Kanye's like dip into celebrity, like him, you know, dipping his toes and realizing what it's like. And here it almost feels like the first time he's done this, or it's just like the initial, like, I need you to undress. Like, I need to know what this is like. I need to dive headfirst into this. And then Graduation is obviously somebody who's stuck in that lifestyle, who can't escape it, who, you know, it's part of his being at that point.
Very much a part of his being. Okay. Catch a Vibe, When the Doors Get Closed. Roll Up the Doja, Henny and Coca-Cola. You Make Me Smile With My Heart. And I Keep Coming Over because it's never over. Yep. So we have Then I'm Coming Over versus I Keep Coming Over. So it does give me the sense like that she comes over, she leaves, he decides to come over, and then they make the Wookiee, so to speak. And then he announces to her, I'm going to keep coming over because we're addicted to each other.
Addicted to each other, which makes the next part so beautiful because a woman sings the hook.
Why everything is supposed to be bad make me feel so good. Everything they told me not to is exactly what I would. Man, I tried to stop, man, I tried the best I could, but
make me smile.
And again, like, I just think Kanye is so conscious of this. Look, again, I don't know if Kanye knows about Babes in Arms. And I don't know if he knows that My Funny Valentine is a gender neutral song and that this would, this, you know, this mentality would apply to two different, it sees no gender. Like it happens to everybody. But here, you know, he brings in a woman to sing the hook and it feels like the woman that he's been with for the whole song singing the hook. Like you're suddenly getting her perspective and realizing like, oh, they're both caught up in the sick cycle.
Yeah. I never thought about that. That's pretty good.
Kanye, you motherfucker.
That's pretty good. Yeah, the equal parts addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jinx. So we have that.
What do I owe you?
Coca-Cola.
There we go.
I was going to make a gold digger point, but I don't think it's a point worth making.
Okay. Well, from now on, this should be a practice we do in the show. Whenever you have a thought that you want to say, but then decide you don't want to say it, let us know what that thought would have been.
Okay, fine. It was the idea that, I keep going back to Gold Digger, the end of Gold Digger shows that it's not just the woman taking advantage of the guy, right? And you had hinted, like, you had discussed this broadly earlier, but at the very end, we have this couple that's on equal footing, right? They're both kind of not anything special. Mm-hmm. And the girl's with the guy despite that. And then Kanye talks about when he gets on, like, you've been loyal, you've been there, and guess what? He leaves your ass for a white girl. So then he says, go ahead, girl, go ahead, get down. Like,
right.
You got to do what you got to do, because these guys are going to, like, hit you first if you try to stay loyal. And it's almost like she seemed like the villain of the song until you hear her origin story, and then you're a little bit more understanding of that dynamic. But it kind of has this thing of men and women being at odds with one another, right? Where there's something about here that's very connecting. They're, like, connected by their addiction to each other and what they're going through. I just thought it was interesting, the differing energies. Like, you have one song that kind of divides through their cravings or vices, and then this song kind of unites through to cravings and vices, but I don't know how meaningful that is.
See, wasn't that nice to say out loud?
It was. My heart beats a little more calmly.
And now you're smiling.
Yeah, you can tell.
Well, at least your heart's smiling.
Nice. Well, so then we close up with this outro.
To be bad make me feel so good. Everything they told me not to was exactly what I would. Man, I tried to stop, man, I tried the best I could, but I just wanted to ask you, just wanted to let me, how would I put this on, let's say, on your friends. Remember the one, huh? You said if you ever, she would be the one. Okay. Well, I was thinking, hypothetically, I mean, don't take this seriously. Don't take me, I mean, just, not credibly. I feel it incredibly. I mean, I said it be, I just let it be. I mean, you hurting me. I mean, you hurting me. Maybe, baby, 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 you know I was just kidding. Unless you're gonna do it, do it.
Make me smile.
Kanye saying, I just wanted to ask you, just wanted to, yeah, now the confidence is out the window.
I just wanted to ask you.
How would I put this? Let's say all your friends, remember the one you said.
All of these celebrities are doing audiobooks. Why not just do an audiobook of an album? Jerry Seinfeld should just read Late Registration.
Could I read Jerry Seinfeld's biography pretending to be Jerry Seinfeld and then sell it?
You could if you wanted to get sued.
Never had that experience.
Yeah. Especially from somebody who's worth an ungodly amount of money.
Would I get to meet Jerry Seinfeld?
That's really the question you should be asking yourself.
Because if, like, I just had a day in court where I could be like, Jerry, do you want to be a pirate? Which, I don't know.
I'm not even going to go down this road.
Do you get that reference?
No, I don't. Is it from the show?
Yeah, there's an episode where Kramer's dating, like, a fashion designer. And he asked Jerry if he'll wear this shirt during a charity drive that he's doing. He's like hosting one of those call marathons. And Jerry, I think, was distracted at the time and just says yes. And he doesn't see the shirt. And it's this like shirt that looks very much like something a swashbuckler would wear. Uh-huh. Like under the vest of a Three Musketeers or something. It's just like very white with like, not braids, but just hanging things and like puffy like sleeves and yeah, a neck, a collar that goes all the way up to the neck. And Jerry puts it on and Kramer's like, what? It looks good. You look like a pirate. Jerry's like, I don't want to be a pirate.
I feel like I've seen like so many Seinfeld episodes, but I've never like sat down and watched them and I can't remember them that well. I should probably do that one of these days.
It's all on Hulu?
Yeah, I think it's on Hulu.
I made Marie watch all 9 seasons, and she enjoyed it, but every time I like start to pick a show, she's just like, you made me watch Seinfeld. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, so we're going to watch this. I'm like, huh. How many times does that work?
Yeah. Well, all she has to do is pick however long Seinfeld is. Like, she gets that many episodes of whatever show she picks.
I think it's like 122 episodes.
That's a lot of TV you get to watch, Chris. Picked by Marie.
Yep. That's what marriage is. Compromise. Fairness.
Mostly when it comes to TV shows.
Yeah. Everything else, it's a wild, wild west. And speaking about healthy relationships, Kanye's saying, let's say all your friends, you remember the one. You said if you ever, she would be the one, which hinting at a threesome sexual encounter.
Yep. More, again, I think this describes both Kanye dipping further and further into addiction. Like, he isn't, like, you know, trying to wane off it anymore. Like, he's like, I'm not only going to be addicted to sex, I'm going to be addicted to threesomes. And he's like trying to pull this woman into that lifestyle too.
Yeah, that's kind of, and it also shows like he was addicted enough to like try to get her, right? And then he got her and you're like, okay. And now even though he has her, he's trying to take it even further, right? Like it wasn't
gateway
enough.
Drug.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just keeps going much too his own like detriment. You ever ask your bitch for other bitches?
Yeah.
Someone might be quoting. Well, I was thinking, hypothetically, I mean, don't take this seriously. Don't take me, I mean, just not credibly. I'm feeling incredibly. I mean, let it be. I just let it be. I mean, you heard me. He just keeps going back and forth. Like, don't take this seriously. I just forget that I even brought it up, but like I am talking about like you, her, and me, right? Maybe, baby. No, I'm just kidding. Unless you're going to do it.
This again, I think this described Kanye's aware of the fact that like, because early in the song, you know, he's making these statements. I need you to undress and then pose. Like he's telling her what to do. But here at the end, like, as he goes to that next step where like it's a three-way, he's no longer demanding. He like is kind of tiptoeing around it, doesn't really know how to say it. And again, I think it's revealing of Kanye where like he keeps putting on these personas of the way celebrities are supposed to be, but ultimately he has no idea what he's doing. And he's just kind of going through the motions of what, you know, he's supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a rock star, right? Like I have threesomes.
Of course.
It's what I heard all the guys in Steely Dan did.
Oh, gosh. Steely Dan, they're just dripping in threesomes.
Dripping in threesomes.
That's the name of this episode.
drip, drip, drip.
Ugh, God. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Such a, like, a meaningless word that becomes so gross.
Yeah.
The more you say it.
It's not a good word.
Well then, so where does that leave us?
There's not much to say after that outro. Like, it's kind of, you feel like a fly on the wall of a really icky situation. And then you're just kind of like, okay, so what's next?
Yeah. And I guess it kind of still does get back to, like, dude's not driving slow, right? Like, not only did he get into the relationship or get into whatever it is he has with this girl now, but now he's, like, being like, let's take it even further. Like, yo, pump the brakes, man. Yeah. Pump the brakes. But he's not going to.
No. Although, what we do get, though, following this is skit two, and then we go into a very different part of the album.
Yeah, do we talk about skit two now? Do we give skit two its own episode? Or do we...
its own episode.
You know. Or talk about it before OG Diamonds.
It probably makes more sense to just talk about it before Diamonds of Sierra Leone, because it does kind of mark a bit of a turning point. But I guess with that in mind, like, that really puts... into light, I don't know what I'm saying, the end of addiction and, like, where Kanye's at. Like, he really has dipped really far into this addiction and, like, what he thinks celebrity is supposed to be, and he's completely lost sight of, like, all the good intentions he had at the very beginning. Like, he's just kind of consumed by it, which leads to the next part of the album, where Kanye starts to take stock of the people around him, what the music industry is actually like how he can do good in it, what people can enable him to do good in it, you know? Where this part of the album, it's been different with songs like Bring Me Down. He looks around and sees people, like, keeping him down.
Yeah.
Here at the end of Addiction, like, we see somebody who's just kind of, they're completely lost. Like, they don't know what they're doing, and all that matters is getting this threesome going.
I would say this does tie back into some ways. Like, we pointed out similarities to the structure of the College Dropout and Late Registration. College Dropout starts off... proud, hardworking kid from Chicago with a lot of talent that's commenting on where he's at, the society around him, and his drive to achieve bigger and better things. And those songs are really meaningful, very, like, profound. And then once you have him sign with Jay-Z, right, Never Let Me Down's that transition point into Act Two, the second act becomes much more superficial as Kanye's making music that he thinks he should be making in order to please the industry, in order to gain an audience, and that it ultimately ends up being a very hollow stretch of songs. Engaging songs, right? They're, like, sonically very, like, engaging, but meaning-wise, compared to the songs that come before and the songs that come after, they're the most hollow on the College Dropouts. And Breathe In, Breathe Out being, like, the peak of hollowness on that album. Before we get skits leading to School Spirit, which, you know, is this metaphor for him getting back that edge that he had at the beginning of the album, and him closing with that stretch of two words, Through the Wire, Family Business, and Last Call. And here we have that intro of Heard Him Say, Touch the Sky, and Gold Digger, which kind of lines up with Act One of College Dropout. And then this middle ground isn't quite as hollow, right, by any stretch of the imagination, as College Dropout, but you at least have more of the tension for the character on this part. In the same way that Breathe In, Breathe Out was kind of the low point for the character on College Dropout, Addiction's the low point for the character here. And coming out of Addiction, you have a song like Diamonds from Sierra Leone, which really starts to get into this, like, dichotomy of how can I feel good about this when I know this is where, like, I need a change. Like, he can't just be this. I can't just be as one dimensional, the same way that School Spirit kind of operates. So you do see a bit of an upswing, but Addiction really does kind of become the emotional down point of the album.
That's so funny. Like, it really shows how much Kanye grew as an artist and as a storyteller, and just, like, a year and a half, because, you know, Breathe In, Breathe Out is similar to Addiction, like the climactic point where we see Kanye like hitting a low and needing to turn things around. But on College Dropout, like the story's there. Like, we know the narrative is there, the three-part structure is there, but like, it exists in these sort of building blocks. And you can just see like, oh, this song signals this, like this song represents this, like this section of songs shows Kanye being a little more superficial. That's not the case with Late Registration. Like, every song is so nuanced and complex and painting this character, like painting all of these flaws and like all of these like really deep set emotions Kanye is going through. All of the, as you said, like tension, like, I think that's the big difference, is like there's so much tension here, and you really feel the need for Kanye to get out of this, to not be addicted, to like overcome all of that and do the good he set out to do. It, on College Dropout, it's just, it's pieces, you could see it broadly, but here, like a song like Addiction, like, again, it's just a song about him having sex with this girl. There's no nuance to it. All the nuance comes from everything you've heard up to the point in the album, and you know how to apply all of that to what the character is going through internally here.
I know if you're listening to this show, you're somebody that has probably learned or already has been doing that with Kanye albums. Like, that, like, I'm not just listening to Addiction, I'm listening to Addiction in the context of everything that comes before and after it and how fulfilling that is. I just wish we could convince everyone to do that with every single Kanye song. And then the argument about who is the best artist ever would not be so frustrating, because everybody would just be like, oh, it's clearly Kanye, because nobody else has done this for this entire for their entire discography the way that Kanye has. Like, you have some great music put out by other artists, and you have some great concept albums put out by narrative artists, but I don't know anyone that's like entire discography is as deep as Kanye's is.
If you're ever president, make it a law that you can't just listen to a Kanye song. Like, if you want to listen to Gone, you got to listen to all of Late Registration.
I would make like Kanye part of the core curriculum, you know? Like, in high school,
majoring in Kanye.
Yeah, you have to understand what makes Kanye's music exciting in order to graduate from high school.
Or you're going to be a dropout.
Oh man, is that a self-fulfilling prophecy then?
I know. All right, like, which path do you choose?
Yeah, do you understand Kanye or do you be like Kanye?
That's the true test,
man.
Wow,
it's causing my head to hurt.
Well, if you ever become president, we'll all have to grapple with it.
Two more years. 2024, I can run.
Oh, I thought you meant you're going to run in 2 years. I'm like, I don't think you can win in 2 years.
No, I'll just be qualified because, you know, the age, the minimum age. So I'll be able to run for president. Maybe I'll start my campaign.
Well, in 2023, I'll announce my presidency and challenge you.
I like the idea. We just both run for president, like, see who can get more votes in our respective states.
You know what I just realized? And this is probably a good moment to end this show. I just forgot how old I am.
Beautiful.
Because in 2033, I'll be 36.
In 2033, you'll be 36?
Or 2023, sorry. Guys, I'm losing it.
Yeah, you are falling apart.
Oh boy. I knew I'd forget my age someday. I just didn't think it would happen like this.
It's like the guy I lived with in Australia. I was 23 at the time, and he told me he was 31. And we were living together for like 6 months, and his birthday came up. And he's like, mate, turns out I just turned 33.
Oh my God. I love Australians.
I was like, Jordy, that means that there's a year of your life you don't remember.
Oh boy.
Yeah, well then, until next time, where we do a full 1 hour episode on Skit 2.
do the opposite of what I have done in this episode and stay wavy.
Keep it loopy.
Me, I tell them, raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.